Everyone, I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation, and I have Katie Bramhall here with Gentle Landing Birth Center. I talked to her a few months ago. She's had so many exciting things happening with their birth center getting opened, and I'll let her tell the details and a little bit about herself if you haven't seen the first video.
Hi, Leslie. It's so nice to be back with you. Thanks for following up. It's really been an exciting 6 months, actually. I think it's been about 6 months since I saw you last. I'm a certified professional midwife. I've been doing out-of-hospital births for about 18 years. Prior to that, I was a doula before there was any such thing as a doula in the Boston area. And I have only ever done this for work. Since 1986, the only thing I've ever done is care for women and their families in various capacities all over the world. I'm also the head in the United States of an international maternal child health organization that won CNN Hero of the Year Award in 2011, Bumi Sahab Foundation International. So, you know, my life's purpose has always been, what's the next best thing for what's happening currently? Because what we know is that out of hospital birth at home in the United States only serves approximately 2% of women. And oftentimes that precludes marginalized communities because of cost and availability and various other things. And so as I've been in this world since 1986, my question has always been, what's next? Well, because I have two daughters, they're 38 and 37. And, you know, what drives me every day is, what is the care I hope for their daughters and them? They don't have daughters yet, by the way. About 3 years ago, I've been working in New Hampshire and Vermont as a home birth midwife. I have over 500 babies in my hands with an incredible record. I've never lost a baby. I'm well respected in the community of, in the broader community of other healthcare providers, you know, OBs and CNMs and pediatricians, as well as alternative care providers who are supportive in their care for women's health, for women, you know, who are pregnant and having babies. But what happened is that in 2018, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, as you know, released the Strong Start study, which was a huge study that basically said that the answer to the abysmal health crisis of maternity care in the United States is the opening of freestanding midwife-led independent birth centers. And at the time I had been asked to come down to New Hampshire to open an office because in the Upper Valley of New Hampshire and Vermont, which is 50 towns and cities, 10 of the small community hospitals in that area had closed since 2000. And the most recent one had just closed, leaving only a level one hospital for women in these 50 towns and cities to have a baby at. Now, that hospital itself in meetings with me basically says, we can't serve those women. We stick them in a room and come in when they're pushing because we're handling all of the other higher risk families. So when my partner, Megan Sperry, who's a nurse midwife, and I decided to open this birth center, this hospital basically called us up and said, what do you need from us? And please get going.
Wow, that's amazing.
So what we decided to, yeah, I mean, we could not be more blessed. So what we did was, because of the perception in the community, as well as at this hospital, we decided to, instead of buy a building, which we could have easily done, we decided to lease 3,100 square feet 5 minutes from this hospital. so that the community, which is pretty highly, the immediate community is pretty highly educated. It's right, it's 11 minutes from Dartmouth and all of the professors and all of that. We are 5 minutes from Dartmouth because the community feels like it's more, it's safer, which statistically is studies show that that's not so necessarily, but it's important that the community, if you're really going to serve a community, you have to serve their perception as well as the reality. So we're 5 minutes from Dartmouth and we took a raw space. There are four other birth centers in the state of New Hampshire, which is where we're located. And they are all located in either houses, pretty much houses. And we decided we're not, we're in this complex, which we, when we were leasing it, we looked at the people who own it and there's space above us for, and we were just like, you realize, don't you, that there's going to be some screaming going on around here, you know? And so, you know, that was accommodated for. And so what we did was we found this space, hired an amazing designer, a project manager and a designer who worked exceptionally well with the architect. And off we went. It took 2 years. And in 10 days from now, we have our inspections. And the state is really excited for us. We're only the fifth one to open, and we're the only one to have started from scratch. So one of the things that the state has basically said is, you're teaching us so much about what this is, because we've only ever done this four other times, but nobody's ever done it from scratch before. So we're, there's just so much working together that's happening that we feel really blessed by.
That is amazing. I mean, I know so many states where midwives don't get that. It's the opposite. They're really restricted. They've got to be more hidden. To have a state that's supportive, that is amazing to hear, Katie.
Yeah. Well, our sister midwives, you know, paved the way for us years ago, you know, and over this course of years, this was, you know, this, the state of New Hampshire is, has been open to out of hospital birth for decades now. I'm only riding on somebody else's wave.
Yeah. So yeah, I would be love to hear, what were your guys' biggest challenges? I know you stressed a lot of the positives, but just for people considering starting a birth center, what would be the advice you'd give them through the process you've had so far?
Yeah, as I keep saying to anybody, is make sure you have a business plan. When I first started this, and then when Megan joined me, people will give you money if you write a business plan. I didn't even know how. I had nothing. I'd never done anything like that before. And so I sat and spent the month of January 2019 writing a 66-page business plan with a 5-year financial projection, and then sent it to two Harvard Business School guys that I knew and said, take this apart for me. Correct me, make this better, make me better. And they were, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm kind of proud of this, which isn't very, very humble of me, but they were basically like, this rocks, I got nothing, this is perfect. And then we sent it out. The other thing that so get that business plan, because anytime you go to investors and or wherever you go to try and get funding, a bank, whatever that is, that business plan is real, a solid, well thought out business plan is going to take you further in the times when it's just going to feel like, you know, you need money and you just don't know where it's going to come from. That's actually going to precede you and get you doors to open. The other thing that, you know, Megan and I both feel really, really strongly about is, for us, we just kept being pressured to be a nonprofit. And I'm head of a nonprofit. And I basically just said to everybody, don't. And there's two huge reasons. One is, you don't ever own a nonprofit. A nonprofit, it's owned by the board of directors. So if you ever have an outcome that they don't understand or like or appreciate, you can, your policies and procedures are no longer yours to evaluate. And to, you know, they can basically shut down almost anything. You lose all of your power and all of your voice, your intuition and your knowing. So if you're a thinking, intelligent, well thought out person with a nonprofit, if they get scared, you're at their mercy. The other reason I say don't be a nonprofit is because remember when I said I have two daughters? It's really hard to be a woman in this world. It's really hard to be a woman in the United States. And if you have a really good business plan, and if you have a really good business model, it's okay for you to make some money. And with a nonprofit, that's not really terribly. And as women, I'm just all for it. You know, everything I do is guided by what do I wish for my daughters and their daughters. Like, our midwifery practice is incorporated, and our birth center is an LLC. And so, our model is incorporation, not nonprofit. Women deserve to have their own voice and the consequences for whatever their decisions are, and they deserve to get paid.
And I agree, because especially on the business plan, you just find mistakes before you spend valuable time and money and energy doing it. You catch things, the market analysis. One big piece, I am a huge fan. Midwives are like, well, if I don't have money, I can't start this. I said, no. Let's think like a business person. That business plan is so powerful. It's to find the funding, but it's also to do a really good analysis ahead of time versus you're in the trenches. And you should have done it 6 months ago. The foundation that it's so important for the success, the long-term stability, to have a really good business plan.
And you are going to make some pretty significant mistakes even with that. You know, I can't tell you the number of times Megan and I have to look at each other and just say, that was a mistake. That just cost us $6,000. Yeah. And the cool thing about having a business plan is you get to catch them even after you've made them, and you're never really going to do that again.
Yeah, I think it's huge because it gives you that adaptability.
So there has to be some built-in.
Sorry, go ahead, Katie.
Yes, and the self-forgiveness, you know, and the compassion, which, you know, and the other side of this is in the business world that doesn't exist, but as women, we get to build that in too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm really excited. I've just been sitting here like, can I see the space? I'm sure everybody is thinking the same thing. You're a beautiful
you
person.
Can see the space.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. And so I just need to figure out how to turn this around.
I think on my Zoom is like a
screen.
Oh,
I see it. Okay. Got it. Okay. So I'm going to take you to the front door. Let's see.
There, now I see you again.
Are you there?
I am there.
I don't
know
what happened. Okay, let's see. I'm going to turn off this heater so that you can hear better. There we go. Okay, so there are things that are not quite finished. And so, you know, we still, there's no art on the wall, you know, like there's still, but I'm just going to, it's still amazing. So when you walk in the door, this is what you see. This is our reception area. What we were going toward is when you come in, we want you to feel like you're walking into some place that feels familiar, not something sterile. We right. spent most of our money on this reception area and on the birth tubs because women who are coming to get their speculums put in them, walk in and they just say, ugh, but we want them to walk in and go, this is okay. This is pretty friendly. It's not, you know, and so our policy is to hug people after COVID and smile at people and then just walk through and just greet them as if they were home. So this is, you know, there are some things lacking, but this is our reception area.
It's beautiful.
And behind here is our work area for, you know, for charting and for all the things. And then we, your going to see this. This is our waiting area. There's a custom made bench with storage underneath, because you can never have too much storage. And then there's a cushion that's being made for that. This is our mission statement. And I don't know if you can see it, but it says Gentle Landing Birth Center, choice in care for people seeking partnership in full scope midwifery and childbirth services. Our care is heart-centered, rich with time and education. We value our community and strive to offer you holistic and loving care. So we want that to be front and center with every, so that people know our intentions, our hopes, and our striving every day. This is our sort of lending library. That's a toy box when people, after COVID, when people come in with children, we will give them, a basket of clean toys. And then they'll put the dirty toys in here.
Okay.
And then let's see, this is our resource table. This is a window into Megan's in my administration office. This is the other part of the reception area. And then this is our beverage station, which is still unfinished. But when people come, we want them to be able to have hot and cold beverages and share something warm or something cool.
Absolutely gorgeous.
So this is what we have built. We want our families to come in and know that we value them with beautiful things and things with integrity, just the way we want to hold them. This is our public bathroom. Mimi, our project designer, basically said, I just wanted to get jewelry on the walls. It's just, we love pretty things around here. Our motto was #pretty. Oh yeah, it has to be functional too.
Yeah.
We're leaving reception and now we're coming into the midwifery clinic. The midwifery clinic is different than the birth center, but it's all in the same space. This is Megan's and my shared admin office. The blinds are not up. There's going to be top down, bottom up, so that there's privacy for us, but also so that we can be accessible and see what's going on.
Smart.
A little place for us to fall asleep when we need to. This is a sort of like a U, but we're going to go this way. This is our clinic bathroom. Same wallpaper, different color, with a wooden floor. Let's see. This is our dirty supply room. This is the room where, you know, basically all the laundry, the autoclaving, the sterilization, the cleaning of instruments and everything happens here. We're pretty happy with this. We're missing a few upper cabinets, but this is where stuff happens. This is one of our linen closets, stuffed full of things. How am I doing?
You are amazing. I am so giddy. I was like, I need more midwives to give tours of their birth centers. I love it. Thank you. It's like Prada Homes to me.
This is our sterile supply room with various things in it. Our blanket warmer. This is a little bit of a work in progress. We think we're going to have to move a bunch of this stuff out because of the state regs, but we'll find other places for it. And then this is our, again, there's a lot of things undone still. This is our women's health room. This is Megan's office. Again, there's no artwork on any walls. There's shelves missing and stuff. The exam table and the ultrasound machine go there. The blinds are not up, but it's spacious. And with the idea that when you come, the very first thing we want to do is sit with you and have a conversation and right. See what matters to you, what you need, how we can be of service and help. And then we go over to where all of the fancy things are.
Yeah, it's nice you can have so much space to access, to make that possible. So I love it.
We required it, actually. This is the back end of, this is the back hallway. This is a this is sort of where lab supplies go and medicines, extra Dopplers, you know, our herbs. This is our medicine cabinet. Hang on. And what's beautiful about this practice is that we're CPM and CNM. And so we not only have medicines, but we have plant medicines, because the midwifery model of care basically says use the least interventive, most effective next thing for whatever is presenting itself.
Right.
So we have medicines and plant alternatives. One of the things that Megan came up with, which is so amazing, is she had these prints done. And the one on the left is the sky when Megan was born. The one on the right is the sky when I was born. And the one in the middle is the exact minute and place where Megan and I said yes to each other for this project.
That is so cool. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a work in progress. So we have two other CNMs and a CPM working with us now, or who is going to, and this is, they're putting together a room here for their meeting room. Our staff kitchen. How are we doing on time? Am I doing okay?
You're perfect. I love it. Yes. Take your time and show off things.
This is our staff kitchen. It's really important to us that how hard we're all working, we have someplace really lovely to just come and find our own nourishment and our own self-care. As such, we don't do plastic dishes. We have a full set of glass, you know, of really pretty dishes and glasses and cups. And then out here, you can't see it, but out here, this is this beautiful wooded area that will get landscaped next year so that we can come out this door and just have something to eat.
Oh, that'll be great.
This is a rental room. In this room, we have a lactation, an IBCLC, and a breast thermographer who are going to share space there. This is looking back where we just came. And the other side of the hallway. This is our supply closet. Hang on. This is our supply closet. And just, there you go.
Still a very important place. You want it well organized.
And then this is a very unkempt and undone prenatal room of mine. It's lacking furniture. It's lacking pretty much everything, but at least it's in process. This is my prenatal room and my session room.
Okay.
Yay. Pretty unremarkable. This is our birth closet. We have, and it needs shelves and stuff, but we have two birth carts in the birth closet. The two shelves will house all the things on top of it. And then this takes you back to the other side. That's the beginning. Where'd you go?
I'm here.
We have, this is our oxygen tank storage thing with negative pressure.
Yeah, if you want to go briefly into the importance of why the oxygen is separated and you have a negative pressure room, I think a lot of birth centers forget the importance of that.
Yeah, because it's safe and good. There, that was brief. This is our janitor closet. I love our janitor closet. I can't help it. I'm a geek like that. And finally, let's go to the birth center. So we're now leaving the midwifery. We're now leaving the midwifery clinic, and we're going to go into the birth center, which is just a matter of opening a door. Let me flip you back. So you open this door, and what you enter is the birth center, which, hang on, has two doors. The thing that's remarkable about this part of the facility is that it has been respectfully sound. It's been sound respected. That is, there's no soundproofing it, but the feel and the sound in this part of the clinic is so different.
Right.
It's so quiet. This is the shared birth kitchen. where we, again, like to feed people with real dishes that are really pretty and real silverware and good coffee and real organic honey and, you know, all of the things that you would want to feed your own children and your own family members. You go through this door. Remember, nothing is done, but what you're entering one of the two birth rooms.
Oh, how beautiful.
This birth room behind this bed from here over like that and across, there's going to be a gray washed headboard with two iron pull bars that are being custom made with rebozos to hang over them. So women have a place to, you know, to pull from. We have a lot of fussy lighting. There's a lot of individualized lighting throughout both of the birth rooms. Both of these sconces can turn on or off. The ceiling lights are dimmable. Actually, there we go. To meet need. We have to hang that yeah, painting above that chair. Yeah, the shades have not been on. Put on yet. And then these are our two birth tubs. We really invested a lot in this space. The tiling is I don't think you can see it very well, but it's got texture and light bounces off of it. And the tubs are our Edelmiss tubs. And they were the first thing we bought. We really invested in, you know, in this. And then the bathroom for this birth room, again, it's unbelievably undone, but we'll pick up the red in there. We have European showers in both rooms. Not a lot is decorated. So
that's fine. It's the feel and it's the what yeah. you guys are creating. We don't get to see too many birth centers that are in mid. They're already established. Yeah. So this is a perfect opportunity. Thank you.
And then you walk out of here, and then the other birth room is our premium birth room, if you will. It's really large. Again, we have selective lighting all over the place. The shades are not in. And then again, the birth tub in this room, followed by the bathroom for this room, which is much bigger. Wow. With a European shower. And then, yeah.
Oh my goodness. It is gorgeous, Katie. What you and Megan have created is just absolutely stunning. Thank you so much for showing me. And I guarantee there's going to be lots of comments and lots of loves and inspiration that you're creating around the country and the world. So thank you so much for showing us.
You're welcome. And you know, be sure and post my email address in case, you know, I'm not an expert. We've just made our way, but yeah. You know, again, this is the wave of the future for care, for, you know, respectful health care, as opposed to a medical industry, self-professed medical industry, which is really important when you need it. But 85% of the of women having babies are midwifery is sufficient, and 75% of the world midwifery care is the care for women having their babies. So, or with people having their babies.
Yeah. You and I are on the same mission. We want to make more stronger midwifery private practices, home birth, birth center, hospital privileges, just getting more access to midwifery services. So thank you so much. And I will definitely put all your contact information in the website so that they can reach out to you. Thank you, Katie.
Okay, bless you. Thanks for everything, Leslie. Bye-bye.
Bye.